I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Welcome to Sick Boy, a podcast where we talk about what it's like to be sick. This week's guest is Jess. She had a flesh-eating disease. Let's talk about it.
I feel like as soon
Wait,
as...
Who is this?
So, Jessica.
Yeah?
What are we drinking here?
Some homemade cider.
Fuck yeah. Well done. It's really tasty.
It's different, beverage. It's not like Strongbow or Bulwark.
It's got that... It's real apple-y. I like it. I got the real apple-y. That real good, like, valley apple taste.
Dude, was I not saying yesterday that I wanted to go to the store and get one of those old school cans of apple juice that you can get and just crack open.
Is this not like satiating that need right
now?
This
is like, I don't need to go there and get it anymore.
It's alcoholic.
The ones that used to smash at my house like all the time. You just pop them open and then drink the entire can.
You know, I have such a good memory. It's because for so long I drank so much apple juice, and there's links between apple juice consumption and memory improvement.
Yeah, that's I don't know about that, but
I'm pretty sure that apple juice was just sugar water.
Yeah. My mom used to water down our apple juice because it would burn our butts.
Oh, really?
Is that a
family thing?
It runs in the family.
Said it would burn your front bum.
Wait, your vagina.
Yeah, your front bum. You don't call it vagina. In my family.
Really funny.
You know what they call it in my family?
What?
A cookie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, that sounds strangely sexual.
I know. My sister's like, my cookie itches. And I'm like,
did she really say that?
My boyfriend calls it cuckoo.
Yeah, dude, kids' fucking dicks and cuckoos itch. That's a normal thing.
Your dog name's Cuckoo?
Her dog,
right now.
Yeah. Darla. She'll like, she licks herself and then starts like shaking, like she really gets into it. And
oh, wow.
He'll like yell at her. Like,
so, I thought you meant you named the name of it after your dog. My dog used to do it all the time, so we just called it a cuckoo.
So speaking of burning front bums, thanks for bringing us some cider.
You're welcome.
I just want to say this before we get any further into the podcast. If you are a future guest and you come to our recording studio, we for sure would never tell you to not bring booze. That is a...
never not tell you that you shouldn't come here without booze.
Ever.
Or treats. That's baked goods, always... Not maybe. We would never not say to not bring baked goods.
That's a quadruple negative, which means it's a hardcore positive. Bring your booze and your treats. So, Jessica, I'm really curious about this front bump thing. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, it was kind of in that area. So. Not that close.
So why don't you give us a rundown on what was kind of in that area?
So I had methicillin resistant Staphylococcus aureus.
Ooh, whoa. I'm going to pull right out of the center of that and pull staph.
Yeah, staphylococcus is not
mutated
good.
Mutated staph.
Okay, so that's what jumps out at me.
That's like a bacteria?
Kind of familiar with it.
Yeah. Flesh eating.
Flesh eating?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, mutated flesh eating. So it's resistant to antibiotics.
So you had a flesh eating virus?
Yeah.
Like flesh
eating? Bacteria.
Do they call it like flesh eating disease?
They don't necessarily call it that.
But flesh-eating disease...
They don't want to freak people out.
Yeah, they don't want to send you into an endless panic.
But staph is flesh-eating.
But flesh-eating disease, is that a thing? And this is not that? Or is that?
It's a thing,
like,
and I think she had it.
For it. Yeah.
Okay, so we're cool to go with flesh-eating disease then.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. Right, I was in high
school... That's totally what we're titling this episode, flesh-eating disease, for sure, 100%.
When... when I was in high school, there was staff going around on the football team in the fall. I went to a private school where everything was broken down to fall, winter, spring in terms of sports. So a guy that played on the football and the hockey team, so he played football in the fall, he played on my hockey team in the winter. Mm-hmm. He had staff, and he couldn't do anything for like months. He was done for months, and they said for the rest of the school year, anybody who is playing sports and showering like in a group, like you cannot use.
Do not suck each other off for sure.
I remember 100%. You saying that. Yeah.
Yeah, they were saying that you can't put share
another
towels.
Penis. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Can't share towels.
Yeah, so that's called community acquired staff. And actually, almost everyone has staff on their skin. But staph is just like the regular flesh eating, and it's actually really easy to treat. And you can just take antibiotics and it cures it up.
Now, when I was in Brazil for the second time, Taylor, which you were there, mm-hmm. Bridie, my wife, was there as well, and she was doing a job, she was working. And somebody on that teacher training, because that's where we went. We went down to this like this retreat center. They were holding a teacher training for Moksha Yoga. And one of the trainees there got bit by like a whole bunch of mosquitoes, and she kept
remember that,
and she kept scratching the bites, and she kept scratching the bites.
Oh, that
and,
poor lady!
She was just like busting it open every day, gross. And then the next thing we know, she ended up getting staph on her busted up fly bites.
Yeah, so it wouldn't have been from the bite. It would have been that she probably already had it colonated on her skin.
Like in her fingernails or something.
And because, so staph lives in your crotch and your nose.
In your front bum.
Oh. Yeah, in your front bum.
Okay. And your nose?
And your nose.
See, Brian and Taylor, especially Taylor, this is why you should not be picking your nose.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh,
pick my nose all
I was like, oh my God, really? Sweet. Stop picking your fucking nose, dude.
I really do enjoy picking my nose, especially because I like the feeling of my nose being clean afterwards. Like right. You do all of these things to clean yourself, have good hygiene. Hey,
what drives me nuts is that you guys, I pick my nose all the time.
I think
everybody
picks
their nose. But I do it kind of like, maybe in the bathroom, or I do it, when no one's around. But you guys do it. You don't give a fuck where you are when the two of you do
it. Why?
And,
why would
and
you?
And here's the worst thing.
I don't understand.
All
man.
The time, Taylor, if I came over and touched the underside of the table where you sit, there's all these boogers just like dried up back there.
That is a lie.
No, Taylor rolls them in his fingers for about 30 minutes.
He does
and
actually
then he just
do that.
Flex it on the ground.
No, I don't.
You do. You
okay,
sit there.
I do.
You sit there and you like as if you're trying to like do the universal sign for like show me the money for 5 minutes, and then you just go flick.
You used to put them on the back of like goalie nets and like save them for a bit too.
Goalie
when
we
were playing street hockey.
No, I would not do that. That's fucking preposterous. But
anyway,
I do that. But you know what? I vacuum almost every day. So.
Anyway,
we're getting off topic.
Staph infection.
So she probably got the staph from the bacteria that was
already on her skin before she got the bite.
Right.
Yeah. And like staph is really common. Like, so if you got staph, I wouldn't say like, oh my God, worry, like you're going to get your leg cut off or.
What is it in the name of what you had, the MRSA?
So mine's methicillin resistant. So that's like the antibiotic that you would treat regular staph with.
So break it down for us. Like how would you go about getting it and then how would it go about on the extreme end of things, killing somebody?
So it could be as easy as like you being a carrier. And like rubbing your eye, or if you had like an open wound, or if you picked your nose, or something like that, or rubbed your crotch.
Right.
And then,
Taylor rubs his crotch a lot, very vigorously.
He's doing it right now.
Stop it. Stop it, Taylor.
You're
stop
the one
it.
Who comes over to my house, lays on my couch with two hands in your pants. Just saying.
I like to hold my junk. Yeah.
It is warm in there.
And then we could shake hands. And if I was immunocompromised,
like me.
Yes.
I'm immunocompromised.
Yeah. So at the time I was immunocompromised and we shook hands and I rubbed my eye or I picked my nose or I touched an open wound.
Or ferociously licked your palms.
Yeah.
Like then, I do from time to time.
Then I would have it.
Right. So, and then from there,
how does that manifest?
Yeah. How does that go about?
So, do you want me to tell you like how it happened to me?
Yeah. Let's go back to your story. Like, so you said this happened 10 years ago.
10 years ago. And tomorrow is the anniversary of me going into, I was supposed to get my leg amputated.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Cheers to that.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You were supposed to get your leg amputated?
Oh, yeah. And let's get there. Let's, I was happy to do it.
Let's rewind a little bit further. Take us back just a little bit further to when you actually found out that this is what you had.
So how it first started was, it just like happened all of a sudden where there was like one day I had, it looked like a little like pimple on my stomach. And to preface this, my whole family, everyone in my family, we get boils. We get boils everywhere. So like boils on our face or like wherever.
Yum.
Yeah, it's kind of gross. But like, so this boil showed up on my stomach and I was like, oh, it's nothing. It'll just go away. And then within like 2 days, it had grown from a boil to literally like a banana on my stomach.
Wow.
Literally just like sitting on top.
So wait, like you know, because like a boil... When I picture a boil, I picture like quite a like protrusion. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and like with like kind of a deep hole.
Yeah.
So this spreads out. Like, are we talking banana shape? Like with a protrusion that's like kind of coming out of you?
Like,
with
like banana on top and banana underneath. Like that's how.
Oh whoa! So it's like it's really like poking out. Like your skin's tenting.
Oh yeah! Like you could see it over my shirt.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait.
And you were just like,
whoa, this boil looks like a big old fucking banana. Well, on with my day.
Yeah, really. I was like, it'll just go away. Like,
oh,
I mean,
man.
I'd never had a boil that big before, like ever, but I just,
and it was banana shaped. That's, I mean, that should just be the first.
You are the person that emergency rooms love. Like the person that will never go in, like even when they're like fucking at the worst point.
No, I was really sick as a kid and I just hated doctors. So anytime something would happen to me, I would just avoid going altogether. So anyways, walking down the street with a friend and she's like, Jess, you're limping. Like, what's wrong with you? And then I broke down and like we went back to her room and I lifted my shirt and she's like, holy shit. Like, what the hell is that? So we went to the hospital and at first they thought I had a hernia.
Yeah.
And I was,
which kind of makes sense. I mean, a banana shaped hernia. I don't know. But yeah.
So then, so they didn't do any swabs or anything. They just gave me antibiotics and they gave me like a few IV fluids and they're like.
They tried to press it back in. They're just like.
They figured out after that it wasn't a hernia and it was some sort of infection. And they were like, we'll just give you antibiotics and like you should be fine. And tomorrow go to your regular doctor and go and get it lysed. And so I was like, okay.
What's lysed?
Yeah.
So, oh, wait. You mean lanced?
Yeah, Lance. Sorry.
Yeah.
So if I think we're talking about the same lice too.
Oh yeah,
I think
we're talking little slice.
So little did I know that
like drained.
Yeah.
Infection doesn't. You can't freeze infection. So the doctor lays me on the table and cuts me from my belly button to my hip, like this long. No freezing.
Like scalpel.
Yep.
Cut right in.
Oh, you meant you can't freeze it. So you can't burn it off.
Yeah, like a wart.
Like freezing as in like you can't feel it. Like, so like they can't numb it.
Why?
Because it's infected. Like it's just pus. So there's nothing, like you can't do anything about it.
Okay.
So, and she had this like kind of.
That sucks.
You're looking at pictures.
Guys, can we take a second?
Yes.
Can we take
a second? I love looking at gross stuff.
That's not boil, even the grossest part.
Boil, MRSA.
Yeah.
Oh,
are you
my.
Watching a video?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of no. Whole bunch of no happening here. Oh, my God. Okay, for our listeners, if you Google boil MRSA abscess lancing boil surgery pimple popping, what a fucking title. If you Google that, you will be able to see what we are currently looking at, which
is, oh my God.
It's in his fucking armpit. Oh, they just pulled something out of him. Oh, Jesus. Tiny? That thing looks like a fucking Oh, they're just slicing them open. How is this guy?
They just cut the skin like straight up.
I want the good stuff though. I want the
being gentle.
I want the squirty squirt. Yeah. Oh, what? And then they moved the guy's ear. What's going on there?
Oh, he must okay, have it everywhere.
Whole bunch of fuckery.
Wow. Okay, so now we have an idea.
Okay.
So they go. Oh, so they go in and they're gonna lice slash lance you.
Yeah. However you say it.
Yeah. I believe it's lance, but it could be lice too.
I think that's a word. I don't know. Yeah. I sometimes make up words.
Yeah. So do
I
we.
Do all okay. the time. Yeah. All the time.
Yeah. So she cut me from like my belly button to, sort of like my hip. And basically,
cause that's how long it is.
Yeah. Like, so they have to get everything out. They can't like, part of it is that, in something like that, like an infected boil or something, it'll heal faster if you cut out the infection.
So hold on. Right. At this point,
no idea what it is.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, you got a weird ass boil.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm on antibiotics, don't really know what for, but like just a general infection, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So she cuts me open and like scrapes everything out, which is like excruciatingly painful.
Yeah.
And I have to give a little shout out to one of my girlfriends who took care of me, Kim Farr. Cause I was away from home. I was living in Res all by myself. She went to like every appointment with me. She had a key to my room, like took care of me. I would like
sweet.
And sob in her arms crying.
Yeah. Do you know what she did to not barf?
I don't think she was there when it was being cut out, though.
No, she didn't watch the whole, like, she didn't watch any of the procedures or anything like that. Well, yeah.
I just you're talking about this like it was no big deal right now, but also you're mentioning that, like, emotionally it was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But, like, what was that like?
Horrible.
Like, dealing with that emotionally?
Oh, I was a wreck. And I think, the worst thing was that, like, I didn't know what it was.
Right.
And I was all alone. It was my first time. It was first year university. It was my first time being away from home.
Oh.
And I didn't like doctors in general, so it was just like...
No shit. You didn't go in. You didn't go in when the banana formed.
So after I had that done, she packed it because you can't close it. So she just like stuffed some stuff in it and put a bandage over it.
Mm.
And I finished my antibiotics and it didn't fully go away, but I was like, oh, it kind of worked. Like it went down a bit and seems to be getting better. I didn't have any fevers anymore. And then like 3 days after being antibiotics, I was pulling up my pants and had like a sharp pain on my knee and I had 3 little bumps on my knee.
Like little zits again.
Yeah. So went to the doctor the next day. By the next day, they were like golf balls on the outside of my skin.
Oh, fuck.
And so the doctor was like, oh, well, it's just back. Like, we'll just give you more drugs and put like whatever. It should be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So... I was on drugs for another 2 weeks, and this time actually like it went away. So the one on my stomach went away, the ones on my knees went away, and I was like, oh, awesome, like I'm good. And then same thing, 3 days after being off drugs, pulled up my pants, had a sharp pain on my bum, and had a little bump again, went to the doctor the next day, and within, like, the 12 hours between when I found it and went to the doctor, it was, like, already the size of, like, I don't know, an orange.
And this is, like, the boil itself. Yeah. Like, it just got bigger.
Yeah. And, like, it just had a tiny little white head. The most of it was just, like, red, inflamed skin.
Where on your ass? Like, on the... Like, okay, cool. So you couldn't sit? Like, sitting was, like...
No, it was horrible.
Oh, God.
So... Went back.
What a pain in the ass, right?
Oh, literally. My God.
Oh, my God, Jeremy. That was so funny.
Did you get it? Because the boil was on her butt.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she sits down.
Oh, dude, I get it.
Yeah, it's going to make her butt hurt.
Yeah, that was really funny.
And sometimes when people are having a hard day or like something is happening that they don't like, they'll say, man, what a pain in my ass. So I said... It's kind of like a pain in your ass.
You made a joke
yeah.
so
that
clever.
Was like a play on the situation and yeah, other situations.
Yeah.
I get it.
It was very funny. Anyway, so funny. Turns into an orange on your ass.
So I went to the doctor again, and he was like, maybe we should swab, see what this is. So he swabs and he goes, I'm going to change your antibiotics too.
Do they swab the infection?
Yeah. So he just like made like a little like nick, like barely anything, and just like rubbed a cotton swab on it.
They don't like do that the first time?
You would think, right?
I guess. I mean, I would think, but I'm also not a doctor.
Well,
so
yeah, maybe there's a protocol.
Right, like, but also, here's the other thing. You were the first case of MRSA.
I was like one of the first cases. So yeah. I think they had had a few, but they really like it wasn't really so prevalent.
It might just not be something that they commonly go like, oh, well, right. This could be
no,
this
but I'm not saying I'm not saying to swab for MRSA. I'm saying like you would think that they might swab for to see what it is, because then, like when they're swabbing, they're not swabbing. Well, I don't know.
Think
I'm
of the volume of people that probably come in and go, yo, I have this. And it looks like a boil. And then they go, here, take some antibiotics. And they never see that person again.
Also, I don't know how those tests work. But like, I'm assuming to look for what it possibly could be.
It's a process.
You have to kind of know what you're looking for.
Well, and
right?
they have to grow a culture.
Maybe.
So basically, like, they take a one of those, you know, Petri dishes that have, like, the medium in it.
I think.
They, like, rub something on it and see
possibly.
If it grows. Like,
Brian,
that's how they know.
Shut the fuck up.
Keep going.
So, yeah, so I switched antibiotics, which was what released all hell in my body.
Ooh. Oh, shit.
Because basically what had happened is that, like, my body was starting to grow resistance to all of these medications that I was on, and it just kind of like, I was like,
I'm sorry,
we'll switch.
Medications? Medications?
Yeah, another word that I like.
And I heard that too, but I wasn't sure.
Okay, I've been drinking cider.
maybe we'll get in, and maybe this is a little bit premature to get into this part of the conversation, but I think the only thing that I have, I guess, my only experience in
flesh eating diseases.
No,
yeah,
in staff or listening to any information or podcasts about staff is this episode that was, I believe it was Radiolab, where they talked about the evolution of like the disease, so that it kept becoming resistant to things like penicillin, then amoxicillin, then and how they have to like every 10 years
find
a new type of medication. So does that have anything to do with the medication yet that they switched you to, or is this something that might kind of...
I don't know, but I think like I was susceptible to it because I was so heavily medicated as a kid. Like I was always on antibiotics. And basically like all it is that it becomes resistant because it keeps evolving,
okay.
Right?
So, like, what do you mean as a kid you were, why were you always on antibiotics?
Just, like, I had, like, sinus infections. Like, I probably had, like, 6 sinus infections a year.
Like, you picked your nose too much and it bled a little bit. And then,
Again, Taylor, you got to stop with the nose picking.
When I was 2, I had viral pneumonia. Like, I just
like, susceptible to
shitty immune system.
Maybe we shouldn't hang out. I feel like you're going to fuck me up. Just kidding.
It's possible.
But come back. I want to come back to the because I don't want to lose this.
No, okay. They switched your medication.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're getting to.
Yeah, yeah. Why did the medication swap make it worse?
Fuck it all up. Because I think what was happening is that the drugs that I was on was kind of just keeping it at bay. It wasn't getting rid of it.
Okay.
And so because it was keeping it at bay, it was just making it stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger, to the point where when they switched me to a different antibiotic, they switched me to one that like wasn't effective at all.
And the staff was like, guys, this is our time. Move.
Yeah, pretty much.
When they roll out.
Yeah. So like the doctor said, leave it for 3 days. And see what happens. So, I mean, I listened to him and was like, sure, like, I'll leave it for 3 days. So, like,
no matter how bad it gets, just leave
it
alone for 3 days.
So, I think it was like 2 days after I started the new drugs, people hadn't seen me. And they were like, yo, where's Jess? Like, what's going on? Thank God my friend Kim had a key to my room. So she came into my room with, like, 2 of our guy friends. I vaguely remember this because I was...
Oh, you're super fucked.
Fucked up.
Whoa.
So they come into my room and I have like a fever of whatever. My bed sheets are soaked because I've just, who knows how long I've been just like stewing there.
You're just in there fucking dying.
Yeah. And there's like stuff like leaking out of me and like,
whoa.
Like, hold on. Are we talking about like leaking out of you, out of your like, you know,
like boiled juice?
Boil yeah, or yeah. like, okay. So yeah. we're not talking about.
No, I'm not like pooping
you're,
myself.
Yeah. You're like losing no. control of your bowels or anything no. like that.
So like I was completely delirious and our two guy friends brought me to the clinic
Jesus
where I had
Christ.
Like originally gotten the swab and they fucking made me wait in the waiting room. I could not believe this. Like I looked like I was dying and there was people with like a little cough and they made me wait. I should have just gone to the hospital, but like,
right.
you know, you don't
right.
think about that stuff. So anyways, finally get into the doctor's office and she's like, we're going to call and see what your results are from that swab. So she calls and I hear her just saying and like checking off a list like resistant, 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 resistant. And she writes a note and she said, you need to go to the hospital right now. And didn't really tell me anything other than that. Just handed me the note and was like, go. So I got into a cab with one of my girlfriends, got to the hospital and in triage handed someone a note and they immediately like stepped back. For me.
Oh, whoa.
And I was like, what the fuck?
Whoa.
Like, what's that's going like, on?
That's like the first scene to like a zombie apocalypse movie.
Yeah.
You know, it makes me think of Monsters, Inc. when they found the sock from the girl's bedroom. And then they're like, they realize like, it's on Sully's back. And he turns around. There's a sock on his back. And they're like, we have a breach. Yeah. And then like all those guys come in with like the hazmat
yes.
suits and they like,
that's what I was imagining yeah. when you're in the office and then she's like resistant, resistant, resistant. I'm imagining you looking at her and then her just going, like, her eyes just like doubling in size yeah. and being like,
get the fuck out of here.
Here, take this note and just go along now. Go along.
She like pulls a mask out of her back pocket yeah. and like puts it
yeah.
on. Like,
yeah.
So,
holy shit, that's yeah. crazy.
So the triage nurse just looks at you like,
they're
oh
like,
fuck.
Yeah.
She puts up the cross sign.
Pretty
like,
much. Yeah. And so like everyone puts on like gown, mask, gloves.
Oh, yeah.
And like,
full thing.
Sits me down in this chair and like immediately like take my blood pressure because.
And hold on, at this point, are you like, wait, what's going on?
Because normally every time I've been to the Emerge, like you wait like 3 hours, right?
Yeah,
so,
super like laid
yeah,
back
like,
and they're like,
sit down, like, you know.
Go put your feet
yeah.
up, relax.
This is kind of like Ebola-esque, right?
Yes.
Like it's in the same
up.
Vein as like people who are working that. If somebody came in with Ebola, they would be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, get
yeah.
up.
I feel like yeah. that's one of my curiosities is there then some type of protocol to like talk to the people that are in the waiting room and
yeah.
shit like that? Are they that concerned about it?
I don't think so. I think like the protocol that they take is more like they protect themselves and clean up after.
Right.
So like they took my blood pressure because that's like a side effect of having MRSA is that your blood pressure gets all fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they like put me on this bed, and as I'm like being wheeled away, I see like a cleaning crew come in.
Whoa!
And like clean the triage area.
And the cleaning crew is only carrying a flamethrower, and they
just need to burn it to the ground.
I'm still picturing hazmat suits too. I don't know.
It was close to that.
That so must then, be fucky with your head.
Yeah, and like I still don't know what's going on. So like
right.
I know something's bad, but I don't know how bad or what it is.
It's so weird because they know and they have this ability to communicate
yeah.
that to you. And instead of like
nope.
saying, they're just like treating you as a subject rather
yeah.
than like a human being.
It was like
being.
A big secret. Like, and mm-hmm. then they wheeled me into this room and it had like, do not enter, like quarantine, all this, like these signs
Whoa,
on it. And
really?
I was like, okay, something's not right. Like, this is not good.
Oh, wait. Don't they call it Superbug?
Yeah, it's a Superbug.
It's a Superbug.
Yep.
Dude, can you imagine?
MRSA
basically,
is?
You handed
yeah.
that fucking triage nurse a slip, like
yeah.
a piece of paper, and she brought it up to her face, and it just said, Superbug.
Yeah.
And she was like,
fuck.
Oh. be right back.
Yeah.
And didn't come back.
Yeah.
Man, so you're in a quarantined room.
Yeah, and It was funny because I'm pretty sure, again, I was like super out of it at this point because I had a really high fever. But I'm pretty sure my friend who came with me to the hospital was with me in the room. I vaguely remember that. Anyway, so someone comes in, a doctor or a nurse or whoever, and they like pull down my pants.
And, without saying anything, they just pull them right down.
Yeah, and they draw a circle around the bump on my hip because they had to track how fast the infection was growing.
Okay.
So then they
I was like, oh, is this not just like a voodoo doctor? He's like, I will draw this.
Because it grows literally like in hours, it could double in size.
Whoa.
So they took me to x-rays, which was another like whole fun ordeal because like they had to like evacuate the area because like I was coming. And they couldn't get a good enough x-ray to see like if the infection had gotten into my bone, because if it gets into your bone or into your bloodstream, like your marrow, you're fucked.
Whoa.
Basically, either you're going to lose a limb or you will die.
And so drawing that back to one of the first things you said about the people in Calgary that had died, obviously this is probably what happened to them.
Right. Yeah. So it just like got out of control and...
Man, this is fascinating because when we were going to record tomorrow night and then we had a scheduling thing and then Jeremy wrote us and said, yeah, we're going to record tonight. And I think he literally just said, we're going to record on Wednesday instead, flesh eating disorder or disease or something like that. And he said it in capital letters. And I was like, whoa, I can only think of the only time I've ever encountered the idea of flesh eating disease.
Yeah.
And that's definitely how it's always portrayed in media, because it carries this like dun-dun-dun type of idea, is I'm remembering, I'm having like a vague flashback to being like 10 years old and being in the room while my parents are watching an episode of like 60 Minutes or something that is chronicling this you know, outbreak in this part of the world or something where this disease is like ravaging a community, and it being like really daunting and like really dramatic. And so when I read that text message, that's all I could think of was this like crazy dramatic thing. And then I was thinking to myself, well, that's TV.
Well, that can't be right.
It can't be like that. Yeah. But now you're sitting here going, well, they had to quarantine the place and they came in with cleaners and it's crazy. And I'm like, holy fuck, that's actually what it's like.
You know what? I mean, have either of you seen Contagion?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So it's a movie with...
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie. Who's in it?
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon, and the female is... is it Claire Danes?
No, it's not Claire Danes. Emily Blunt. Is it Emily Blunt?
No, it's everybody who's listening and who knows is just yelling it. Yeah. Anyway, that movie, not a horror movie.
No.
But
kind of.
My God. Really scary.
It might as well be, because it is... That shit's terrifying, right? Like, it's terrifying. And, like,
And you know, I mean, they gotta move. That bad as the movie.
No, of course not. Of course not. Yeah, they basically go, okay, well, now we put gloves on, we put a mask on.
Right.
Ma'am, you're gonna come with us. We're gonna sit you down in this bed and we're gonna close this
just
door.
To just to contrast Taylor's kind of idea of it there, like when Jer sent that text, I was kind of thinking more so along the lines of like, this is a fucked up infection that tears apart your skin.
Yeah.
But I was thinking that it's more like cosmetic and less life threatening.
Yeah.
Like I was thinking like that would fucking
like it really
suck
wouldn't kill you.
To have something eating your skin.
Yeah.
But maybe you can treat it with some antibiotics and then be better.
Yeah.
But like to know that it could get into your bone marrow and like actually fucking kill you.
Kill you.
Like that's scary as fuck.
So did they tell you any of this?
No, so I still don't know what's going on.
Okay.
They just like are running me around everywhere and like doing these tests because they wanted to see if the infection had gone into my bone.
Right, okay. They're trying to figure out what's like, where did this go?
Where is it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was huge. It was literally like the size of a grapefruit on the outside, like a full grapefruit just like sitting on my ass.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Oh God.
So they couldn't tell if it got into my bone. So then they bring me back into the quarantine room and break the news to me that like, they say, okay, I think they got an intern to do it too. And she was super nervous.
Oh no.
I felt really bad.
I don't want to tell her. Yeah. Send in Shelly. She's the fucking med student.
I don't want to be in the room with her. Shelly's like highly contagious.
Yeah. So they say like, okay, you have MRSA, which is methicillin resistant staphylococcus aureus. And they said it's a flesh-eating disease, and it's resistant to certain antibiotics. And
that's so hardcore.
We need to get you into surgery to cut out the infection, and there is a very large chance that you will lose your hip and your leg.
Whoa! They just dropped that on you right there. Yeah. Wow! That's
in this the same time frame of you coming into the hospital.
Yeah. Within
wow,
it was probably within an hour. And by that time, the infection had grown quite a bit just from being in the hospital.
Just from that hour.
Yeah, it had grown outside the pen mark that they had drawn around it.
And you don't have any pictures of this?
I don't, because it was 10 years ago, and the only thing I had that took pictures was a big clunky camera. So guys, I'm going to the hospital. Let's bring my camera.
Yeah, right.
Can we stop at Walmart and get some disposables?
Yeah.
This is first iPhone. I'm not even sure if it had been launched yet.
It was I think
it might have been that
year.
Nokia
phone or something like it wasn't.
You had a Razor, Motorola Razor.
Yeah.
Actually,
that was a good phone.
Yeah, that's probably the phone that you had. Yeah.
Yeah. The really shitty part of it all was it was my mom's 50th birthday party.
Oh.
Which is tomorrow, actually. Her 60th is tomorrow.
Oh, crazy. My mom turned 60 this year.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Ma.
Yeah. And so they had to call my parents, and my dad had a huge party. It was catered at her house. There was 30 people. This was back in Ottawa.
Yeah. Okay. So that's home. Yeah. Ottawa's home. Yeah. You were going to school here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they call and they get my mom, which is probably the worst person to talk to when your child is sick. And they tell her they're going to have to amputate my leg probably.
God, her poor heart.
What an out of the blue call. did you tell your...
They had known a little bit had been going on, but I really kept a lot from them.
Imagine 3 days earlier you call and you're I have boils or whatever. And then all of a sudden now we have to...
Yeah.
Possibly amputate her leg and hip.
Yeah, but it's funny because I had told my mom what was going on, but kind of minimalized it.
Right, yeah.
But gave her all the symptoms and everything. So she knew the whole fact of it, but not the deep down.
Mm.
So she, of course, she's big on looking online and self-diagnosing for us.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So she...
Not good.
No. But you know what? She looked it up, and she told me a couple days before that I had MRSA.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, I should have listened to my mom, but whatever.
Tough to listen to somebody who's not a medical professional.
I know, eh?
Who Googled something.
Yeah.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now, what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
So my mom comes downstairs and tells everybody to leave, doesn't explain why, just yells at people get the fuck out.
I'm just Googling images of it right now. God. Okay. Oh, it just looks bad. It just looks real bad. Just MRSA, Google images.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Why is it black? Was yours black?
Oh, yeah.
This is this big black
thing. Mine was purpley.
Go to this website. 5 tips to cure MRSA naturally.
No, thanks.
Yeah, do not do that.
Oh, Jesus.
Naturally, yeah. Just do it with herbs.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
There are videos on YouTube of people, saying that they've cured MRSA with,
Oh, look at this guy's
natural
fucking
shit.
And you're
look
listen, motherfucker, you didn't have MRSA.
You know what? I don't mess around with that, Go to the hospital.
So at this point...
We're getting to a good part.
So at this point, I mean, they tell you this thing. They tell you that you're going to have to... There's a strong chance they're going to have to take your hip and your leg.
And I'm like, do it.
And so this is because at this point in time, there is no antibiotic that... They don't have that antibiotic
yet. So there is an antibiotic. But with it, you have a better chance of surviving... any infection, really, it's advised that it's you'll heal faster if it's cut out.
So they're just like approaching your body right now as if it's a banana that is in really good shape, but there's one part of it that's super black and super gross. And they're like, yo,
they just need to get rid of it.
We can have this. We can keep it.
Yeah.
Let's just cut the bruised part off.
You know what I do in that situation? I always go, oh, fuck that, and I get rid of the whole banana.
Yeah, we haven't gotten that. No. We haven't gotten there in the healthcare system. No. I don't think so.
Well, because this, like, the scary thing is for them is that, like, if because they didn't know where it was, if it gets into your bone, then you're fucked. Like, there are antibiotics to treat it, but once it's in your bone, it's really difficult to treat it with the antibiotics. So it's better to cut it out and treat with antibiotics.
So they take you in for surgery.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing they're moving pretty goddamn quick.
Oh, yes. I was in surgery within, like, probably an hour and a half.
How long did the surgery last?
I don't know. But it was funny. Like, right before I went in, the nurse was like, oh, you've got a big bum. Like, you should be okay.
What is that? Why? What does that have to do?
You got a big old ass. I ain't worried about you.
Well, I mean, I got a lot of junk in my trunk, so I had some room to, like,
for it to spread.
Yeah, room for it to grow. Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting that she said that.
Yeah.
But it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. She was trying to, like, I think she was just trying to make me happy. She was trying to
make
them
make you happy by telling you your butt looks big.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
It's a classic move.
Yeah.
I feel like in comparison to the flesh eating disease that's tearing through her body, it's like the least of her worries that someone's like, oh, you got a lot of room back there, so it should be okay.
Yeah, so woke up after the surgery, and I didn't lose my leg, but had a huge hole.
How big was this hole?
So I had a plastic surgeon do the surgery. So, like, I had also an infectious disease doctor, but they didn't do the surgery. I think they were there, but the plastic surgeon did it.
I would like to say, before you go deeper into that, that we had someone actually message us on social media the other day, and she's a med student, and she was saying how she's specializing in plastics.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, you know, this weird thing where people assume that because I'm going to be a plastic surgeon, all I'm going to be doing is giving people fucking Botox and, like, cosmetics. And she's like,
no,
there is a whole world that people have no idea. Like, we are used for burn victims.
I thought that until about 5 seconds ago when you said that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Pop culture.
Yeah. That's what we look at plastic surgeons and go, oh, you make people's tits look like the way they want them, or make their lips more plump or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, like, they need to be pulled in for the shit to, like, save people's faces, you know? Save people's skin. Yeah. Save your hip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was like a 6 foot something guy. Like, he was a big man.
And probably handsome as fuck. I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
He was. I saw him, like, a couple times a week after that for, like, months.
Yeah. You saw him? Oh, wow.
Well, I had to.
Oh.
I thought him and my infectious.
He didn't give you a
doctor.
Choice? Well, this guy sounds aggressive.
I thought you were openly just saying that you carried on a relationship with him afterwards.
Before I went into the surgery, I was super fucked up, so I may have thought anyone looked handsome.
Yeah,
right.
Well, kudos to him for being the surgeon to do that.
And he had huge hands. And so this was, like, months later. At one of our, like,
I thought we were still going.
No.
I was like, we're going down this road again.
I'm describing how big the hole was.
Oh, sure,
and this just, like, helps. So
you're making it really hard.
The hole was big. Okay,
it was a big old hole.
And okay, sure. Yeah,
this man, this large man with big hands, filled this hole.
Please, Jess,
tell us how he filled this hole. Oh,
and I saw him for a number of times afterwards.
He touched me a lot.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So I eventually. So the whole experience was really traumatic, and I never really saw fully that part of my body for a really long time.
Because you couldn't, or because you did, I guess you didn't want to, like, bring yourself
to
it.
I didn't really want to, like, bring a mirror to it and, like, look. But my dad had seen it, and my sister looked at it and almost threw up, and, like, my sister watched.
Their reactions were very,
visceral. Yeah, and my sister is one of those people who watches, like, the open heart surgery on TV. Like, she loves that shit, and she thought she was going to throw up looking at it.
Whoa,
So I asked him, like, how big was it actually? And he said he could fit his hand all the way up to his wrist.
Oh My God.
Inside of you?
Inside?
And go all the way around. Like it was
like move his hand in like a sort of like circular motion at the wrist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It was really big.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But
God, if I had a nickel for every time.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Taylor.
You did a really good job.
Yeah.
And
I mean that's like, so but that's, wait, that's monstrous.
Wait, how do they how do they so they patch that up?
So like, they don't close it. They leave that hole open after surgery and pack it with like
It's like plastic. Yeah, it's like plastic. Like it, almost like plastic bag and gauze.
And
stuff.
Yeah, they put gauze and that kind of stuff. And
okay,
I like fill it in.
Yeah, like chicken McNugget filling or like something like that. Like
no,
that pink
not
stuff.
Not really, absolutely not at all. I've had sinus surgery a number of times,
so
and
they,
afterwards
yeah,
they do packing.
It.
But it's like it's literally like a giant long plastic bag.
Okay.
But I guess with yours it'd be more dry.
Mine was like it was just a lot of like
gauze
type. Stuff.
So they just fill it with a pillow.
Yeah, it's full of shit.
Yeah.
And when I came out of surgery, I had no clue what had happened.
Yeah.
And they kept me up all night because I had really high fevers, and was still fighting the infection. Like even though they had cut it out, it didn't mean that it was gone. Like they still had to treat me with antibiotics and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So the next morning, I wake up and the nurse comes in and she's like, okay, we've got to change your dressing. And she's all happy. And she had this like massive.
She has no fucking clue like what she's getting into.
Oh, she knew.
Oh, did she?
She was excited.
Oh.
Yeah. She had a huge needle and it was like this thick around, like full of some sort of liquid that she shot me up with to help with the pain.
Oh, wow.
And she said, you're going to want to brace yourself.
So. Oh, whoa.
Man, Chelsea,
no.
Chelsea
would
love doing
that. You never
want to
hear that in a hospital.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Brace!
Yeah. So I had this, like, big bandage over top of it, and I honestly thought they had closed it up, and she was literally just going to, like, take the bandage off.
Oh, no, you didn't know.
Put a new bandage back on. I had no clue.
She's literally changing the packing.
Yeah.
She is reset. She's taking all the packing that's in there out of the hole.
Yep.
And then refilling it.
Yeah.
And you don't realize that there's
that
a fucking crater in your body.
No.
Oh, man.
I had no clue. So she like, so then she explains it to me because I saw her like take the bandage off and then there was still like white shit, like kind of like.
Yeah. On the top of
it. Like, yeah. Like I was just like, what's that? And she's like, that's your packing. And I was like, what is that? And then she's like, well, it's inside where we cut out and you have to pull it all out and then so basically
it goes about 6 inches deep in and
it was so deep that I could feel her hand in my stomach like
Whoa.
I felt
Ooh.
so she had to pull it all out and then she'd scrape the inside because there was still like infection growing.
Did you watch? Were you watching?
Well, I couldn't watch because it was like on my side. But yeah, I was like bracing myself because I wanted to die. It was so painful.
Oh my God.
And then to put it back in, they don't just like drop it in and like lightly put a bandage on it. They have to push it into the side. So it's like she was literally like pushing up against like nerve endings.
Oh
like,
my God.
Yeah, it was horrible.
This reminds me of, when I was like 16, a good friend of mine growing up, Tara Curry, was over and I always used to like, she was really light and I would just pick her up and like carry around over my shoulder. And I picked her up.
Classic 16-year-old game.
Yeah.
I love that one. Yeah, pick up the little girl and walk her around.
I picked her up and she was like kind of like slumped over my shoulder. And I was joking around. We were laughing. And I pinned her up against the wall and I put her ass right through the wall.
I was like,
I don't know how to fix a hole in the wall. So instead of like, I wanted to hide it from my mom, right? Mm. So instead of like cutting out a square and like replacing the drywall, I just went and I got mono and just started fucking spraying the caulk into the wall, just packing it in there.
Filling it with caulking.
It really didn't work, but I had my hand right in there, pressing right up against
that's
the sides,
like
and
my hole.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. I would have been good at filling your hole.
You probably would have.
Jesus Christ!
Yeah, no.
Jesus Christ, Brian.
Didn't mean for that to come out that way. Jeez.
You did though.
You were fully aware.
We're gonna cut that out.
Nope. Absolutely not.
So is this when the nurse is doing this, is this your first time being basically realizing like, holy fuck, there's a crater in my ass.
Yeah. Like I had no idea. Cause I was like, oh, they didn't cut off my leg. So like they must've just like gotten rid of it and closed it up. Like,
right. You know? You have no idea. And then she comes in and she's like, we got to change the dressing.
They don't like tell you that. They're not like, by the way, you have a crater in your,
they really like kept me in the dark. And I think it was because they wanted to like keep me positive. But it was like every day the doctor would come in and be like, yeah, you're getting out. Like, aren't you excited? And then like 2 hours later, a nurse would be like, so you're not getting out today. Yeah. So it was hard.
You mentioned the infection was still when you
yeah,
said.
Yeah. So it was not gone.
Okay.
So I was still fighting it. Meanwhile, my dad shows up because it was like a really bad snowstorm and they could only get one flight for my parents, and my dad came because my mom is just like useless when someone's sick.
Right.
So my dad showed up with like 17 dress shirts, no pants, no underwear, just 17.
Your dad sounds pretty useless too.
17 dress shirts. And basically just like.
He's just wearing
there.
The shirt as the pants. He's like, I could button it up halfway. And yeah, fuck.
One shirt is underwear.
He just sat there and like stared at me all day and like. Yeah, he was just it must have been really so scared.
Yeah, just terrifying for your parents, you know?
So, I had to get my dressing changed every day.
Every day?
Every day, yeah.
And how long were you in there after?
I was in the hospital for, I think it was 8 days. And then I got flown home to Ottawa where I had a nurse come to our house every day.
Shit. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and actually the nurse that I had for home care saved my life.
Wow.
Because I was still fighting infection and it was getting worse and nothing's working. And like they didn't know what to do. And she had heard of this type of packing that has silver in it. And silver is like a antibacterial, antimicrobial agent.
Lululemon. Taylor and I are ambassadors at Lululemon. And just would like to say that they were adding silver. I don't know if they still do this, but they were adding silver to some of their shirts.
Yeah.
To, you know, to
like
help.
Get rid of smell. And
exactly.
That kind of
keep
stuff.
It from being really stinky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she found this packing and started packing my hole with silver.
I really tried not to, and I didn't laugh, and I'm still really trying.
I know, but when you call it your hole,
what
it's
else
really,
am I supposed to call it?
I don't know.
No,
I don't know.
That's what you call it. You're
it's
doing
my hole.
You're doing a great job, and I still haven't laughed. I am also doing a great job. Continue.
So yeah, so she packed my hole with silver, and it was like a week after that happening, things started turning around, and like infections started going down. And
oh wow! So it was like just like that, like really quickly.
Yeah, it really like it turned the page. And
wow!
Yeah,
yeah,
crazy.
I love that song.
Yeah. I don't know.
Turn
that song.
The page.
I don't know that song.
Stop it.
Okay.
Stop it.
So the last day that I had to get my packing done. Was February 9th, my birthday.
I have a question because so you're getting this packing changed every day.
Yeah.
And on like if you were just a rough guess, how many times did your packing get changed from day one to the end?
Well, it was from December 1st to February 9th.
Okay, so
30, 69.
How long is that?
Yeah. 69 times.
70.
Yeah.
70 times 70, around there?
71.
Yeah.
So did it ever become...
Routine.
So it wasn't like...
After like 2 weeks, it was...
It was like whatever.
Near the end, I was getting like... So I was home for a while. And near the end, I was getting like friends to do it. And I would like tell them how to do it.
And they were not throwing up.
No, because like it healed pretty quick. Like the big portion of it. So like... Most people didn't see like.
So how did it heal though? Like, sorry to cut you off, but like,
inside out.
Does it fill in with skin?
Yeah.
Okay, like like pretty much all the way up to the top.
I'm dying to know what it's like right now.
So it's kind of cool because like my scar is super small. I'll show it to you, and actually, I want you guys to feel it.
Okay.
Because that's
I will gladly feel your hole
because the scar really isn't very impressive, and you'd be like shocked. Like the scar is super small, but that's because like a plastic surgeon did my surgery, and I saw him once a week for months.
But you didn't get any surgery after the packing hole thing.
Like
that just like
all this
like whatever he did
to, like,
was essentially
make sure
the thing
that my scar was like the smallest possible. But when you touch it and like if you actually like put pressure on it, you can feel like a divide. in like my
in the muscle. No way.
Everything. Yeah.
Let's see.
So it fills. So just before we see it, so I just want to get a conceptual idea of it. So let's just say
I know, but
I want to think about it. So let's just say like this is a flat surface here, our table, and let's just say we cut like a semicircular like hole in the table that goes down, not quite to,
like a crater
out of the table, and then over time that just filled itself back in naturally.
Yeah. With the packing. So that's the whole purpose of the packing is like if you don't pack it, then it would like fold in on itself and close in like that.
Okay.
And it could like have pockets of infection within that. But if you put the packing down, then it slowly like grows
and you're using
the packing.
And you're using like less and less packing as you go.
Yeah. So the hole got like gradually smaller. Like when my dad didn't look at it until like maybe a month in. And by that time he said like you could fit a cell phone into it. Like
right.
It wasn't.
That's still very big.
It'd be cool having like a little pocket.
That is
like
still
that.
A very big hole. That's not your like mouth or you know like any other hole in the body.
Yeah,
that's a big hole.
Yeah.
It's cell phone. You could drop. You could drop. You know, and cell phones were bricks back then. Anyway, yeah. You could drop a flip
compared
phone
to
in
a
it.
Yeah. Compared to a hand twisting around
much
in
smaller.
All directions.
Yeah. Much smaller. Yeah.
Cool. Let's take a look.
Yeah.
Okay.
So for our listeners, Jess is standing up and is literally pulling her pants down.
So the skin, I'll like warn you, like the skin around is damaged, so it looks kind of weird.
Sure. Right.
But like it's not, that's the hole.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
wow.
It's super small.
It literally looks like just a dimple.
Yeah. So then if I lean over, this is like super
awkward. Okay.
Put your hand here. And
that
like,
way.
Taylor is now like.
And push. And
like,
you can feel
like
the
karate chop hand,
oh, yeah,
but
yeah.
with his fingertips and pushing into.
Oh yeah,
The scar.
I see that right, like right there on that ridge. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is definitely the first time we've ever been invited to push someone's butt on the podcast.
I all of a sudden got really aware of how long my fingernails are.
Yeah, I didn't feel like
as I was as I was poking and prodding.
Yeah, it's like a little crevasse.
Yeah, like it
goes crevasse.
Like really, it's very small.
That is fucking fascinating.
I'm super impressed at how small. Small
it's
it is
small.
Like
it's
how
really
it like
small.
Really unnoticeable.
No, it's, and it's almost translucent.
Would be.
The scar, like you can't.
I mean, if
it's
I was,
10
if I was,
years old,
yeah,
right? So
yeah,
right, true.
But even still, like even still, the guy had his fucking hand,
in
a crater, like a
yeah,
huge.
Like the opening was probably about this big when it, like initially,
quite large.
Yeah,
and now it looks like it looks like a sort of oversized coin slot.
Yeah.
You know, like it's
just, like it's, the size of your pinky.
It's like a little bigger than a toonie.
Yeah.
In terms of like length and width, it's like you know if you stack like two or three toonies.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like a scar. It just kind of looks like like
for
you said
our
a
American
dimple.
Like
kind of,
or like a stretch mark or something.
Yeah,
it's not like
you would if I had no idea what happened
you
to you, I would not assume that you had been through something that crazy.
Yeah.
All of our American listeners, if you don't know what a toonie is. Basically,
it's a $2 coin, a little bit about the size of a silver dollar.
That's right.
It used to exist.
Yeah, a little silver dollar.
Yeah.
I was just imagining all the people in the U.S. that just heard you say toonie and were like, what the fuck is he talking
about?
Can
we take a second, though? Can we just take a second?
Some type of currency at some weird Canadian playland?
Dude, well, can we take a sec to recognize how fucking silly
the name?
Loony?
Oh, yeah.
And then they're like, well, we should come up with a $2 coin. By Jobes, I got it. A toonie.
But I don't know. I think it's just culturally called a loonie and a toonie. I don't think the government called it that. Does anybody know if that's true or not?
No, I think I bet you the Canadian Mint was like, no, call it a toonie.
Yeah, I think the Mint did that.
Yeah, maybe. I guess I've just always assumed like, oh, well.
Don't worry, guys. I'm Googling it.
We just culturally came up with those
names. Well, so the $1 coin had a loon on it, which is a bird.
Right.
And that's why they called it the loonie. And you're saying that you don't think that it was that was the actual name that they gave it when they created that
piece.
Yeah, I
feel like they were like, hey, this is the $1 coin and we have our loon. We have the loon on it.
It was actually named the toonie by the public. It was
a vote.
You're right.
I don't know if it was a vote, but it says the $2 coin or
issued
toonie,
in 1996
or toonie as Canadians have named it. So yeah.
Wow.
Anyway,
we used to have a $2 bill went out of circulation.
I
got a coin.
That.
My dad's got a whole bunch of them and saving them because they'll be worth money someday.
Yeah, almost.
Yeah.
two whole dollars.
Keep saving,
so,
cup.
So, do you look back on this moment now? Do you look back on this experience in your life? And let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. What was the biggest takeaway for you from this experience? Like, what did you gain or what did you lose?
I feel like I was like a spoiled little brat before all of this, and really like put life into perspective, and 'cause I could have died.
Yeah.
And I appreciate life a lot more after that, and family and friends and like all that, because there was so many people that were there for me and
is that still me. Is that still tangible? Like, how does that present itself in your life today?
Oh yeah, like I'm so close with my family. Like I was just home last weekend, and like all my cousins and aunts and uncles were there for my mom's birthday party, because her birthday's tomorrow. Happy birthday, mom.
Let's sing her happy birthday. Here we go.
Happy birthday to you.
What's your mom's name?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Wanda. Happy birthday to you.
You have lungs.
Wow.
Nice. Jeremy's going to take the day off tomorrow.
Well, that was a fucking rad story. It was like, it was a fun story time with Jess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what has been hitting me as we've been going through the conversation is that the speed and the chaos of that experience is just fascinating to me, that can happen.
I was ready for it, though. That's the thing, too, right? Like, I was in so much pain that it was, like, good.
Yeah.
And also, you were fucking delirious. You were just like, you know, you literally had your friends, like, save your life by forcing themselves into your room.
Pretty much.
I think it's really cool. Like, we usually the guests that we have on are, like, either in the middle of dealing with something or like, have been dealing with it relatively recently, but to like look at something with 10 years of perspective and to think of something that was like as impactful as like knowing that you might almost lose your leg or like dealing with this like insane infection, like it's cool to be able to say that's changed you and given you the perspective that it has today, and that's still present with you now. I think that's really cool.
Well, Jess, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in and sharing your cider and sharing your whole...
Yeah. Literally.
No.
You guys all touched it.
You shared. You did. You know, shared her whole.
Yeah, we did. We did all touch it. We did all touch it.
Yeah.
We did all touch it.
That's okay for me to say. Because that's what happened.
Just like that strong man did so many years ago.
Yeah.
His hands.
Okay. Well, fuck, that was really fun. We hope you enjoyed that. And thank you all so much for listening. If you enjoyed that, if you did, one thing that would just tickle us pink is if you went on over to iTunes and you subscribed.
Tickling something pink never sounds
just tickles
not
me,
sexual.
Just tickles me pink to think that you would go over to iTunes and give us a subscription and rate and review. And the reason we ask you to do that is actually it keeps us on the charts. Which means more people can actually find us. iTunes is one of the biggest draws for people to find us.
I believe right now we're number one.
No, we definitely
we might be when this comes out.
Right, and you know what? And you know what? You know what? You know, John, sitting at your desk.
Yes, yeah, so you, John.
Go, rate, review, and subscribe.
And and Emily, you are driving your car right now.
That's right. And Joan, you touching your hole, go to iTunes
and maybe rate, subscribe.
Yeah, and go to the hospital. And also, I should say this, that we're also on Google Play and we're on SoundCloud. And a big one, a real big one, is we're on Patreon. We, as you can hear, up to this point, we don't have any sponsors. Maybe we will by this episode. Who knows? Currently, we rely on you, the listener and the supporters out there. So go on over to patreon.com/sickboy, where you can find some really sweet exclusive content. All of our live shows are put up there. Other recordings that you that we've made that we haven't put up, we put up on Patreon. So there's lots of great stuff there. That's it for this week.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
And I'm Jeremy. And this is Sick Boy.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.